Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, no matter how strongly a person believes something, that believing is meaningless apart from sound doctrine. Let me give you a couple examples of that. Some people very strongly believe in reincarnation. For example, some people believe that the cow tied outside happens to be Grandpa, who has come back as that cow, so therefore they are unwilling to eat the cow and they would rather starve to death. But what does the Bible say? It says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Another example would be that some people believe so strongly that their goodness, their good deeds, will save them. But yet, God says in His Word, no one will be declared righteous in His sight by observing the law. So people who believe in reincarnation, they're going to be disappointed when they found out they were believing a lie and they are lost forever. People who have confidence in their own goodness, if they don't repent before they die, also they're going to find out on the last day, or even on the day that they die, that they were believing a lie, they were sincerely believing a lie, and now they're lost forever. God wants us to know that sound doctrine is so important. Today, as we focus on a portion of the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, Paul is going to remind Timothy in this section, first of all, about the source and the benefits of Holy Scripture. And then he's going to tell him how to make use of that Scripture. We could say in some respects that what's written here is more for me than for you, but I think there's much instruction in here for all of us. I would ask that you would continue to keep me in your prayers and pray that I will rightly know and live and teach the Scripture. That's important for me and also important for you. And then pray that you will gladly hear that teaching, believe that teaching, and put that teaching into practice. Those are important things for you. And when you do such things, that gives me great joy. Let's go right to our sermon outline. We come to the source and benefits of Scripture. Let me put this statement before you before we get into our text here. Let's understand that when the source of teaching is from people, the promised benefits will never be realized. So people can be teaching all kinds of wonderful sounding things, but if the source of what they're saying is from them or from some other person, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be beneficial, no matter how good it sounds. However, though, when the source of the teaching is from our holy God, thus from His holy Word, then the promised benefits are going to be certain. So again, sound doctrine is so very important. Let's understand that God works through His Word to save. Just before we get into our text, though, in verse 14, let me share with you what the Bible says there in verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that evil men and imposters, talking here about false teachers, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But now Paul focuses his attention on Timothy and he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So Timothy learned the Holy Scriptures from his mother, and then he learned much more from the Apostle Paul. And then he goes on and says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, in other words, the Old Testament scriptures at that time, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So even though some back then and some today, some teachers of what is supposed to be true end up teaching what is false and end up going from bad to worse, the call here is for all pastors, even for all believers, to continue in the biblical things they have learned and they have believed. We have quite a problem with that in today's world, don't we? That people are into that at one point in life, but they don't continue in it. It is vital to continue in it. Like Jesus said over in Matthew 10, he said, "And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Though we are hated, though life is difficult, it is essential to endure to the end. But what does God do, though? God says, well, you don't have to endure to the end quite the way the Bible says it. If you do your own version of it, enduring to the end, if you compromise here and here and here, it'll be okay, because everyone else is compromising in the same ways. Understand that that's the devil talking. That's not the Almighty God. The Almighty God isn't encouraging us to compromise on anything. He wants us to know how important the Scriptures are. So what is the basic message of the Bible that we should never, ever, ever compromise on? Let's know that we were all lost in sin. We were dead in sin. But now, by God's grace, we are sorry for our sins, we are trusting in Jesus Christ, and we have been found in Jesus Christ. That might sound very basic, but most people in the whole world don't know that basic statement, and they're not benefiting from it. They are still dead in their sins. So God works through his word to equip. Notice what it goes on to say in verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's look at that again. So inspired by God means that the words have come right out of the mouth of God. They are God-breathed, so they are profitable, or we could say they are useful, for imparting knowledge, for calling sinners to repent, for calling them to change or to improve, in other words, for correction, and then for training them in doing what is right and pleasing to God, not to earn their way to heaven, but to honor the one who has saved them in Jesus Christ. And all of that goes on in the lives of those who are pastors, and hopefully in the lives of others too, in order that they may be adequate, that they may be complete, that they may be equipped to do every work that God has planned for us to do. So think about the passage in Ephesians 2, where it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God laid out certain works for me to do, and I need the Word of God to equip me to do those works. But God also has works that he's planned for each one of you. Maybe not quite the same as me, but he has things he's planned out for you, and God wants to use his Word to equip you to do those things. Are there certain more secular things that he wants you to do in your life? Sure. But are there also spiritual things he wants you to do? By all means. Well, we need the equipping of the word when it comes to the spiritual things. When it comes to training and equipping, that can take a long time, but that training and equipping is important. Imagine you have an issue with your physical body and you need to undergo surgery. Are you going to want the person that got some kind of a medical degree through some online instruction, and you're his first patient? Would you like that? Or would you rather have someone that's gone to school after high school for maybe another 10 years or so, and not only did he go to school, but he practiced and practiced and practiced in all kinds of ways, and now he's been a doctor for 25 years, and now you're his patient. Would you like that situation better? I bet you would. Well, what about for me? In a sense, you're entrusting your soul to my care. So that's even more important than our physical bodies. And when I say that, that makes me feel like I have a lot of responsibility that I don't know whether I can handle that responsibility or not. That's a lot to think about. But my greatest desire for every one of you is not that you live long and healthy lives, but rather that you are in Christ, that you continue in Christ, and one day you are with God forever. So I want to try to do everything I can that God would grant that for you. So it is essential for me that I would know the scriptures well and that I would use them in a skillful manner. Then it's also important for each one of you that you would come, that you would hear that teaching, that you would take it to heart, and by the grace of God, you would embrace it, and where it applies, you would put it into practice in your lives. So I ask that you would again pray that I would use the word in the best ways and that you would also receive it and benefit from it. Going on to the second part, I think Paul is giving Timothy some instruction on how to handle the word of truth in a truth-rejecting world. First of all, he tells him in chapter 4 to take his responsibility very seriously. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, both by his appearing and his kingdom." So even though Paul wrote the words to Timothy, he is reminding him that Christ is the one who will judge Timothy. He will judge all pastors, and he will judge all people when he returns. We can know that is coming. Thinking about the fact that we are living here and that the judgment is coming later on, Paul made this statement when he was on trial, talking about how he conducts his life in a certain way here because he knows that one day Christ will come and he's going to have to stand before Christ over here. It's some good wisdom that we should take to heart and put to practice in our lives too. Paul said, "There shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men." May God help us to think that through and realize that everything going on here, we're going to have to deal with that before our Lord Jesus Christ someday. Nothing is hidden, nothing is forgotten. Now, when we are in Christ, we have forgiveness. We can rejoice in that. But at the same time, though, God knows everything here, and thinking that we have to stand before Christ someday, God wants this reality out here to highly influence how we are functioning here in this sinful world as God's holy children in Christ. And then Paul tells Timothy to use the Word of God like a tool. So I had opportunity earlier to try to show Macy how we use a hammer and a screwdriver. So here we see how we are to use the Word of God or the Bible like a tool. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Let's look at that again. So when we reprove someone, we are using the scriptures to convict them of their sins. So if someone is living in a particular way, and the Bible says that we should be living in a different way than that particular way, then we open up the scriptures, we go to them in kindness, and we show them that the Bible says such and such, and yet they're living in a different way. So that is helping them understand that they're not in agreement with the Word of God in how they're functioning. And then we are to rebuke them. We are to warn them. We are to speak a word of God's judgment upon them so that they know that if they choose to continue in that sin, they should realize that condemnation will come for them someday. So they need to realize that. Yes, God is love, but it doesn't mean that he lets everyone into heaven. God is love, so he sent his Son to take away the sin of the world. But all who reject Jesus Christ, they will not be forgiven. They will be punished forever and ever. People need to know that. And then we are to exhort them. So we are to not only urge them to repent, but upon them being repentant, then we can assure them that in Jesus Christ, they have God's forgiveness. So in summary, we can use the word of God to expose sin, to call people to repent, to assure them of God's forgiveness in Christ, and then even to take the word and say, I'm so glad that you're not going in this direction any longer. I'm so glad that God moved you to repent. Now, the Bible says to go in this new direction as a holy child of God. So the Bible is such a valuable book to do all those things and so many more. And then we come to this section where we should not be surprised when people have no interest in God's holy word, have no interest in sound doctrine. Paul went on to write to Timothy, for the time will come, and I think that time has come to America, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's interesting, in the Greek there, instead of sound doctrine, really the word there is healthy doctrine. So when you have sound doctrine, when you have the truth of the Bible, that is healthy, and when we receive that and believe it, we're going to have healthy souls. We're going to have a healthy relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But when the doctrine is not sound, it is not healthy, and not only will people be unhealthy spiritually, but in many cases, they will be dead spiritually. You've heard me share with you probably a number of times how I've talked to people that have gone to church virtually their entire lives for decades, and I've said to them, by the way, why will God welcome you into heaven someday? And they've had all kinds of different answers, and many of them didn't mention anything at all about Jesus in the answer. And then I'll say to them, well, you went to church and there was a cross and you received the body and blood of Christ and all these other things. And I'll say, Jesus must fit in there somewhere as to how you're going to get in. Can you tell me how he fits in there? And there are a number of people who could not answer that question. They saw no way at all that he even fit into the equation of them getting into heaven someday. So let's understand that going to church, if the doctrine is not sound, and even when the doctrine is sound, if people are coming and not paying attention, it is meaning nothing to them. So we should not fool ourselves and say, oh, so-and-so goes to church every week, so I'm sure she is fine. So-and-so goes to a good Bible teaching church, so I'm sure he is fine. It doesn't mean anything unless God has gotten a hold of us by his Spirit through his word, and we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Years ago in America, when people knew they were sinners and God made them sorry for their sins, I think they were longing, they were hungering for God's saving truth. I think some of us here today are in that same situation, and I praise God for that, that he's given us that hunger, that most important hunger of all. But unfortunately, now in America, the time has come where for many people, truth is no longer absolute. If a person thinks that abortion is okay, that makes abortion okay. If a person thinks that skipping church is pleasing to God, then that person skips church and is content because they have taken what is sound doctrine and they have put their own twist on it, and now they believe it and they even feel good about it. God wants us to know in the end, it's not going to work out well, but when we get away from the absolute truth of God's word, then people can do whatever, and they can somehow make it seem okay. That's very much our world today. And let's understand that many so-called Christian churches have done that. They have their own version of how we even came into existence. They have their own version of the way to heaven. They have their own version as to how we should be functioning day to day as Christians. And yet if it's their own version, it's meaningless. In fact, it's very deceptive. It is a doctrine of demons. It is the tool of the devil, not the tool of the Almighty God. Today, since many people have their own version of the truth, what are they doing? They're not going from church to church looking for the truth of God, but they're going from church to church looking for someone that will tell them what they want to hear. And now they're thinking, I thought that was true, and now he is telling me what I thought was true. He must be right. Because he's telling me what I think is true, that must make it right. It is utter foolishness, but yet that has become a common thing today. You've heard me tell stories where I've gone to other churches when I'm on vacation, and I'll ask the pastor about this or that, challenging them as to, why are you teaching that? Why did you do it that way? Show me in the Bible. Give me some kind of a passage here that will support what you're talking about, what you just did. And the one guy told me, we have no passage for that. We just think it makes sense. Well, that's no way to deal with things. If you don't have the Bible behind you, you shouldn't be teaching it. You shouldn't be saying it's a thing of God, especially when you're talking about a very important thing. Let's know that God's truth, that sound doctrine, brings life. And let's know that when people hold to their own truth, the result is going to be death. Finally, Paul says to Timothy, basically he says, keep going and never give up, never throw in the towel. In verse 5, he wrote to him, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So he's writing here really to Timothy, and we could say to all pastors, even though some of the things here we can apply to all of us as well. But he's saying to be sober in all things. So be unimpaired. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on. Endure hardship and endure it with patience. Endure it as an example to others. Do the work of an evangelist. What is he saying? He's saying get out there and proclaim the bad news of sin. Don't compromise it. Don't say, oh, that's okay, everybody's doing it. But rather, proclaim the bad news of sin and proclaim the good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And then he said, fulfill your ministry. So take that word of God, which is a tool, and use it to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instruction. So in fulfilling the ministry, sure, take the word of God, use it as a tool, and like Dr. Giesler reminds me, I have to use the Word of God as a tool, then I have to take a break and let the Holy Spirit work through that Word in order to do the work that God wants to do. So I should be bringing the Word as clearly as I can, but then I need to step aside and let the Holy Spirit work through that Word to get a hold of people, to show them their sin, to make them sorry, to bring them to Christ, to build them up in Christ, to guide them in holy living, and so on. I thank you so much for praying for me that I would be faithful to the Word of God, that I would bring the Word of God in such a way that would be beneficial to you. And I just ask that you would be faithful, that you would come, that you would receive, that you would believe the Word of God, that you would embrace it in such a way that you are taking it with you throughout the week, that you are at peace in Jesus Christ, knowing that you are forgiven, that you are shining the light of Christ, and when you have opportunity, that you would share that good news with others so that they might know too and they might be blessed now and forever. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for calling me and many other pastors to serve. Help us to stay true to the Bible, and may you move many people to gladly receive our teaching and preaching of God's truth. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.